Welcome to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. We are about to talk about how Americans regard and treat one another. A spokesperson for a Donald Trump super PAC went on the Megyn Kelly show this week on Fox, and Carl Higbee defended a proposal made by one of the members of President-elect Trump's transition team to create a national registry for immigrants coming from Muslim countries. As Higbee explained, there is a precedent for something like this in America.
We've done it with Iran back a while ago. We did it during World War II with Japanese, which, you know, call it what you
Come
will,
on.
maybe
you're
wrong.
Not, you're not proposing we go back to the days of internment camps, I hope.
No. I'm not proposing that at all, Megan. But what I am saying is that
we need to protect
America first.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets people scared, Carl.
Right. But I'm just saying there is precedent for it. And I'm not saying I agree with it. But in this case, I absolutely believe that a regional base.
You can't be citing Japanese internment camps as precedent for anything the president-elect is going to do.
Look, the president needs to protect America first. And if that means having people that are not protected under our Constitution have some sort of registry so we can understand until we can identify the true threat and where it's coming from, I support it.
Talk like that alarms Tom Ikeda. He is executive director of Densho, a Seattle organization that preserves the testimonies of Japanese Americans incarcerated in U.S. internment camps during World War II. Tom's grandparents came to Seattle from Japan in the early 1900s. His parents, grandparents, uncles, and aunts were sent to Minidoka, the internment camp in Idaho.
There's one story that I think a lot about, especially during this time. You know, my grandparents, their eldest son, my uncle, was a student at the University of Washington. You know, while he was at the University of Washington, he took ROTC classes. He was smart. He was athletic. And when the war broke out and he was, went with his parents to the Minidoka camp, he still wanted to serve the country. And he volunteered to serve in the Army. And when he took his physical, he actually failed it. There was something wrong with his kidney. And he was so despondent, my grandmother gave him an herbal remedy, and he was then able to pass the physical. And because of my uncle's ROTC training, he was made a staff sergeant in the segregated 442nd Regimental Combat Team, was all Japanese-American infantry unit. And while they were fighting in Europe, he was killed in action by a sniper's bullet. And there's a photograph that I have of my grandparents in the Minidoka concentration camp. It's in a dusty field. And there are hundreds of people at this memorial service where they are accepting the American flag for their eldest son who was killed in action. You know, it makes me angry to this day that they had to accept the flag for this sacrifice in a concentration camp because, you know, our country didn't think that they were loyal enough and they had paid this incredible sacrifice.
What were the citizens of the Puget Sound area saying about that those actions back then?
I think that's the crux of the story. You know, as this was happening to their fellow citizens, you know, people remained silent. And it's understandable in the sense that there was this climate of fear and hatred that was going on. You know, the media, politicians were painting Japanese and Japanese Americans as the enemy, as someone to be feared and to be suspicious of. And so in that climate, people remained quiet. You know, they were thinking, well, maybe there's something behind these stories. And even though these people were innocent, they were painted as being dangerous. That's what led to people not speaking up during World War II.
What connection do you see between a registry and physically holding people against their will in camps?
You know, it doesn't happen with just one big step. I mean, in the case of what happened to Japanese Americans, it started off with a lot of negative rhetoric. You know, again, painting them as a suspicious, dangerous community. And then what happened in the, Japanese immigrants, you know, they start registering them, you know, even before the war started. And then after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, all families had to register. And then once, you know, those lists are there, then they're more easily rounded up and placed into concentration camps. And so it's part of a process that we've been, you know, watching and, you know, we're alarmed at because, you know, we've seen the negative rhetoric and now they're talking about registering. And so we think it's important that, you know, not only do we bring a historical perspective, but that we speak up that, you know, these are the steps that led to, you know, a mistake back in 1942 that we don't want to happen again.
So when some of Trump's defenders say, look, he just wants to be careful about Muslim immigrants, he's not going to round up innocent people, what do you want to tell those folks?
That's what they said back in 1942, and it led to the incarceration of 120,000 innocent people, two-thirds of them U.S. citizens with no due process, and it's a mistake that we do not want to repeat again.
Tom, what actions are you personally taking?
So we're reaching out to targeted communities. I mean, in particular, the American Muslim community, as well as the African American community. You know, we think that, in particular, those communities right now are being targeted, and it's important for us to reach out, hear their stories, get to know them, and be allies with them, as we wanted to have allies back in 1942 that we didn't have. So it's important that I think all Americans really, you know, get involved, you know, wake up, start reading, get informed, reach out to these communities, get to know them. I think that's the step that we're taking right now.
We didn't mention Latino Americans, other immigrants, undocumented immigrants. What about those communities?
Yeah, exactly. I think we need to reach out to all communities at this point. You know, my hope is that we can use the turmoil that is, you know, happening in our country today to really reach out and get to know each other better. That the politics of fear and division we have to fight against. And the way I see right now for us to fight against is for us to really reach out and have these conversations. That if we stay on in our own sort of groups and just sort of repeat what we hear, you know, my fear is that our country will be more and more divided. And as we get more and more divided, more and more bad things are going to happen. And so, again, I think right now we have to, in some ways, again, as I said earlier, wake up, get more informed, but to reach out and start talking to people and not just listening to, you know, hateful speech on radios or on blog posts or on social media, but actually talking to people and reaching out and hearing, you know, both the common ground and differences, but having these conversations.
Tom, where would you say you are on the spectrum of fear that history will repeat itself versus hope that this America is not the same America as we had in the 1940s?
You know, just in this past week, you know, I've been on a roller coaster in terms of how I feel about, you know, where this country's going. When I, you know, take a historical perspective, you know, that gives me actually hope that I look at our country and recognize that, you know, we have been in very difficult situations and we've always been able to pull together, that there is a spirit in America that, you know, when things get tough, you know, people do wake up and pull together, even in the face of fear and hatred. And so today I am more optimistic that I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that you know, bad things won't happen, but I am optimistic longer term that, you know, we will pull out of this and we will pull out of it stronger, because there are so many good people that I've talked with in this last week who really care, that are now pledging to get more involved, and I think that's a good thing.
It's interesting to hear you be optimistic, at least right now, Tom, given that, you know, some, you could also say, well, yeah, the United States dropped nuclear weapons that killed and injured so many, and from that victorious post-World War II point of view, the U.S. had the luxury of looking back and saying, oh, well, I guess that was a mistake, but, you know, it happened all the same and it could have gone differently.
Well, so the important thing for me is that we learn from our mistakes. I mean, you know, thinking about this concept of registering, you know, Muslim immigrants, we know from history that when the United States did similar things, that was a mistake. And we took the time to examine it, to look at it. And, you know, I think back, it was President Reagan in 1988 who signed the Civil Liberties Act. And he apologized. He said this was a mistake that we did to Japanese Americans and that we need to make sure that doesn't happen again. So if we could just pay attention, if we could just remember the mistakes we made in the past so that we don't repeat them, but to move forward in a way that we keep learning. I mean, race relations, back 75 years ago was more difficult. We lived in a segregated South. My uncle had to fight in a segregated infantry unit in the war, all Japanese American. So there was a very different era that we've progressed from. And so I believe that if we keep focus, if we keep opening doors to other opinions and other ideas and keep talking, the country can learn from. And so that's why I still remain optimistic.
That's Tom Ikeda talking with us from Seattle's International District. He is the executive director of a Seattle organization called Densho that tells the stories of Japanese Americans who were incarcerated in internment camps, concentration camps, he called them, during World War II. The place where Japanese Americans were first taken from their homes here is Bainbridge Island. In fact, there's a memorial you can see at the old Bainbridge ferry terminal. And that is where Lily Kadoma told us her story a couple of years ago. She and her family were interned. We are tweeting out a link to our conversation with her at KUOW.